I have a prophetic word. You've heard this, but it is so on point right now because, you know, we're moving into 2024. So today I'm going to minister on Psalms 24. I think it's a prophetic word for this year that is to come. I want to go ahead and say this right now. 2024, you ready? This is our year. Okay, so turn to Psalms 24. We're actually going to minister this entire psalm today. This is a prophetic psalm of the end times. I mean, the true end times. And we're going to look at this. I think it's fitting that it's Psalms 24. Coming into this year, this prophetic year we're moving into. Verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord. In the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in. He's speaking this. Look at this prophetically as an end time. There are men. There is a whole conglomeration of people in high places that want to rule this earth and rule the people. And a one world government, and they want tyranny. They want it all. But this psalm is saying the earth is the Lord. Say the earth belongs to the Lord. And the fullness thereof and all that dwell in there. He said he founded upon the seas, he established upon the floods. He made it. He's returning for it. This time he's returning for nations. This time he's returning. He will judge the systems of this world. And eventually the peoples of the earth, but all of the earth and the people therein, the whole thing is going to belong to him before it's over. Amen. Now he's going to get into this starting in verse 3, a very powerful concept. I want you to look at several things here. He said, who shall ascend into or unto the hill of the Lord, mountain of the Lord? Who will ascend into the mountain of the Lord? Said, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands, pure heart, not lifted his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Verse 5. Bit of a dichotomy here because it said, he will receive the blessing of the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. It's kind of interesting. He says, who will ascend the hill of the Lord? It says, he that hath clean hands, pure heart. So he can receive righteousness, which is clean hands, pure heart. So who's going to ascend with clean hands and pure heart to receive clean hands and pure heart? You see what he's saying here? Who's going to ascend? He that hath clean hands and he that has the clean hands and a pure heart will receive the clean hands and a pure heart. You see the dichotomy here? What he's saying is, even Paul, think about Paul for a minute. He kept the law blameless, which I don't think anybody here has done. I mean, you know what it takes to keep it blameless? He was a Pharisee. I mean, they had to memorize, what, the first 5 books by the age of 7 or something? I mean, it's so stringent to keep that, the stringency of the law. I mean, you couldn't even, on the Sabbath day, go out and pick up firewood. You could be killed for that. You could be killed for doing something like that. That was a stringency of the law. He kept that blameless, by the way. But he said, those things that were gained to me, I count them but dung. He goes, it was nothing compared to what Christ gave him freely. He says, to be found in him in Philippians 3, not having mine own. It doesn't matter what you obtain in this life. It can never be what he's given you freely. He obtained eternal perfection for you. In fact, he said in Hebrews that you are forever perfected. There is a place, believe it or not, that you have with God that's forever perfected. There is a place in Christ that's done. Even more when he says, come boldly to the throne of grace, he wants to give that free gift in exchange for whatever you obtain here. And we're always obtaining, but we have to surrender what we've obtained to receive freely what he's already obtained. So even ascend the hill of the Lord. You can't ascend the hill of the Lord. That mountain right there in that image, you can't ascend on your own. You can't ascend in your own righteousness. It's not good enough. None of us will be good enough for that. So in our ascension into the mountain of God, we have to make an exchange. He said, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. If Paul couldn't do it keeping the law, and it wasn't good enough for him, then how can any one of us ascend the hill of the Lord in our own righteousness? We can't. That's the great exchange. We let go. We surrender. We exchange. That is the ascension. The great exchange is phase one of the ascension. To get into the realms of God, we have to let go of where we are and embrace the free gift. It's really not that hard, honestly. You just have to know it's free. You have to be able to have enough faith to receive what's free. And you have to let go of who you are, where you are. Doesn't matter. You can be Mary Poppins. Doesn't matter. It's not good enough. So he gives us the free gift to enter the mountain of God. To be clothed. That's why he says put off the old, put on the new. Put on the new man. A free gift. Look at it like the prodigal, where the prodigal comes out. Father comes run to him. Prodigal's clothed in filthy garments. What's the first thing God does? Gives him a brand new robe. Brand new shoes. Brand new signet ring. Elder son couldn't handle it. I've been in your house all this time. I've been righteous. And you're giving him all this stuff. What about me? And what did the father say? You've been with me all this time. All that I have. It's yours. It's always been yours. The elder son was trying to work for it. The prodigal was just trying to come home. There is an exchange of the robe. You see it in Zechariah 3. Joshua the high priest. His garments were like filthy rags. He had to take it off. He being the high priest, he had to take that off. And God put a brand new robe, a new white turban on his head. God has clothing for us. To move in the kingdom of God, we must be clothed in the free gift he gives. That gives us position. Say position. And position gives us right of inheritance to stand before the Father. Which is the next verses. Which belongs to this time we're in right now. Verse 4, think of it like coming to the throne of grace. He that had clean hands, pure heart. Come to the throne of grace. Doesn't matter how or what you are. In fact, he says, come boldly to find grace and help. What do? We run. We hide. How many of you have ever hidden before? We hide. And he's saying, come boldly. He's in that position of high priest. He loves you. He's your mediator. He's your helper. He is on your side. He wants to reclothe you. He has all the power. Say the weapons of our warfare, mighty. Mighty through God, not carnal. We need to operate in the weaponry of God that's not carnal. Power. The pulling down of strongholds. Amen. And then he says, he that had clean hands, pure heart. Now this verse, 5 and 6, and then we're going to get into 7, 8, 9, 10 in a minute. This verse, 5 and 6, is probably some of the most powerful verses for our time and the day and hour we're living in. If you understand what's in these two verses, verse 5 and 6, what God is doing, he's talking about a generation that will ascend the mountain of God. And he says he shall receive the blessing of the Lord, the righteousness of the God of his salvation. We'll get into that in a minute, what that blessing is. We'll get into what that righteousness of the God of his salvation. So I've got the clean hands, but what am I receiving? If I already have clean hands, and this righteousness must be something greater than what Christ has already given me in the righteousness. Look at this verse 6. This is the generation of them who seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Actually, what it says, it seeks the God of the face of Jacob. Seeks the face of the God of Jacob. This is a generation that seeks the face, say seeks the face of the God of Jacob. Now to understand that verse, this is where we are. A generation that will receive a transformation. You have to go back to Genesis 32. You have to go back to what happened in Genesis 32. We haven't been over in Genesis 32 in a while. This is where he wrestled. This is where Jacob came in. You know, Jacob, he was a swindler, a supplanter. He was a very righteous guy. He stole his birthright from his brother twice. His mother helped him. She instigated. He was right there. But Jacob understood something. He leaned on God. He understood the blessing of God. He wanted that blessing. In fact, in the firstborn, Esau came out first and Jacob grabbed his heel. It was in him from day one to inherit that blessing. Now he did it unlawfully twice. He supplanted his brother twice. Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. Because he was hungry. And Jacob took advantage of him. He said, give me some of your stew. And Jacob said, give me your birthright, I'll give you a bowl of stew. Can you believe that? Esau had no regard for the blessing. Jacob did. Even though he went after it the wrong way, twice. After all his days of Laban, God brought him back. And brought him right back in. And that night he wrestled. He wasn't just wrestling with an angel. He was wrestling with a pre-incarnate Christ. Because Jesus spoke to him that night. He wrestled, verse 44. Jacob was left alone. And he wrestled with a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. Broke his hip joint. And still, watch this. This is the tenacity of those that are going to obtain in this hour. You have to have tenacity. If you want to obtain with God, there is a tenacity that goes with your faith. An unwavering commitment to receive, to lay hold. He was wrestling all night. His hip joint was broken. The Lord was going to walk. It's the time for me to go. And he said, let me go. Verse 26, for the day breaketh. He said, I will not let thee go. This is the way we have to be. I will not let go. Say, I will not let go. You've got to grab something in this life that's greater than life itself. The word of God. You've got to lay hold of it and never, ever, ever let it go. No matter what. There are things that'll happen to you in your journey. There are things that'll get stolen from you in your journey. There'll be injustice in your journey. There's going to be trespass in your journey. There's going to be things. Self-inflicted things. Friend-inflicted things. Family-inflicted things. You have to choose to never let go. Say, I will not let go. You have to be so intertwined and oh, so intertwined with the Word of God. You have to hold something that dear. It has to be treasured. And Jacob, he said, let me go. Verse 26, Genesis 32. And he said, I will not let thee go until you bless me. Oh, that is our mantra right now. Say, I will not let go until you bless me. You want the blessing of God. The blessing's more than financial. The blessing's the favor of God. You're going to see the blessing here far greater than what we just think of being blessed. This blessing calls a birth of a nation. This blessing calls a birth of a people. Named a whole nation after him after this. Multiplied his generations. And Jacob said, what is your name? And God said to him, what is your name? What is your name? Jacob. Supplanter, it means supplanter. Deceiver. See, that was God was just the final day that God was going to identify him as Jacob. Moreover, he was going to do something that Jacob would never identify as Jacob any longer. This is the true blessing. The true blessing is a transformation. It's a transformation of who you were into who you are in God. It's a supernatural transformation that you can't obtain outside of God. And God sets them to him. What is your name? He said, Jacob, supplanter, deceiver. He said, your name shall no more be called Jacob. But that's not actually what happened. Look down in verse 31 for a minute. Jacob called the name of this place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. Say face to face. Once God introduced the face of God to us, Jacob, he just didn't talk to him. What he really said? You have to go to the literal for this. When you go to the literal, I'm going to show you what he really said. The Young's literal, Smith's literal, they all say the same thing, but I'll read out of the Young's. Literal translation. There's no shall there. Now get this picture. Jacob standing before the face of the Lord. He said, what is your name? He said, Jacob. Now here's what he said. He takes him to another place and he speaks something to him. He said, thy name is no more called Jacob. That day, God stopped the identification of Jacob. With a single word, there was no more identification. God no longer saw him that way. God no longer referred to him that way. God canceled, wiped the slate clean. All of his iniquity, all of his supplanting was over right there. No matter what you've been through, you are no more that person. That is not who you are. You don't change. By trying, you change by identifying. You don't change by trying. You change by identifying. There's something greater in God for me. He said, thy name is no more called Jacob, but Israel. This is the first time the word Israel was ever mentioned. God created the word. It means prince, a reigning prince. God has a word. He has a new name for you. Book of Revelation says he does. He's got a new name for us, Justin. He's got a new name for us. He's got a new identity for us. You'll be pillars in my house and you'll be named by a new name. You have a new identity. God does not look at you the way you look at you. You're not Jacob. Say, I am no more Jacob. Jacob is all the things you don't want to be. Israel is all the things you want to be. He said, thy name is no more called Jacob, but Israel. Now watch this. Awesome. This is face of God talk right here. You have to identify these verses in the Bible. They make all the difference in the world. Because King James said, thou shall. You shall be a prince. There wasn't no shall about it. You want to know what he really said? For thou hast been a prince with God and with men, and dost prevail. Spoke to him in past language. How can he stand before him in present and speak to him past? He just changed his name. Within seconds he goes, thou has been a prince. Wait, you just told me I'm not Jacob anymore. You has been a prince. You have already reigned with me. So is he speaking to Jacob from a position of present, or did he move Jacob into the father of lights? He took him into the word that was to come and he transported him out of where he was. That's the key. You got to get out of where you are. You want mountain moving faith. We have to get out of where we are. We have to get into the realm that is to come or that's already been spoken and done. So he takes Jacob out from his present circumstance somewhere down the line. You have been a prince with God. You have reigned, Jacob. You've already won the battle. Nations, he goes on later and takes him in to back to Bethel and he speaks, nations comes out of your loins. A kingdom will come out of your loins. A land will come out of your loins. That's when God changed. God named a whole generation after him. land. That's where they got the name Israel. Right there. What honor. Think about it. You go from being a supplanter and deceiver to one a whole nation eternally is named after you. Sworn to multiply your descendants. That's the blessing, the favor. We have a sign out there, I think, somewhere about the blessing is. The blessing is. There's a lot that goes with it. God renames you, re-identifies you. As long as you identify with your old, you're going to get stuck in the old. As long as you're identifying what people think about you, get stuck there. I don't even want to be stuck in my present anymore, much less my past. I want to be moving in the realm that's already completed, done. So this is what happened to Jacob. This was the transformation, a brand new identity. As a prince, you've reigned with me. This time he did it right. This time he got the blessing from God. He didn't supplant it. He didn't deceive. He went straight up with God. He said, I will not let go. There is something to not letting go, my friend. There is something to hanging on and never let go. Hold fast to what he's promised you. You have to see to do that. You have to know God is going to do it. Amen? Now, that whole chapter, go back to Psalm 24. This is what he's referring to now. It's that event that happened with Jacob. There's a generation that's going to be brought before the face of the God of Jacob. An end time generation in the time of the return of the king. That are going to ascend the hill of the Lord. And there's going to be a transformation just like it was with Jacob. But this time it's a little different. We're coming in as priests. We're coming out as kings. We're coming in one way. We'll come out just like Solomon did. Solomon went before God and said, give me wisdom to judge your people. And goes, God, because you asked for this, I'll give you all this other. He didn't even know how to come in or go out. Have you read what Solomon did? The government, the glory, the wisdom, poetry, songs, preaching, business. All of it was under his government. God so supernaturally poured it out. Changed him. He said, this is the generation that will go before the face of the God of Jacob. And what happened to Jacob will happen to an entire generation at the return of the king. His glory will come. There is a transformation, a final end time day. I need to say this, but in Acts 1, you remember Jesus standing before them in a resurrected state. He's about to go up into heavens. And they ask him, say, will you now restore again the kingdom of Israel? You are definitely the king. You've been raised from the dead. Who better to deliver us from Roman occupation, restore us to the days of David and Solomon. I mean, that's what it's asking. Will you restore again the kingdom now? Who better to lead us? This man's been raised from the dead. What did he say? It's not for your generation to know. This is not the time for that. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible's very clear that he sits on the throne of David in the heavens. God reassigned the throne of David. He said he sits on the throne of David. This, never a man failed to sit on the throne in Acts chapter 2. It was promised. He said this spoke of him. And he spoke of him and of his resurrection to the throne. So God, because we know that David, that Christ never sat on David's throne in the earth, not in his earthly ministry. We know he sits on it now because Acts chapter 2. So that means God took the throne and the glory of that kingdom up into the heavens. Took something natural and made it all spiritual. I mean, knowing God can do that, right? But now he's got to take all that that's spiritual. He's got to bring it back because he's going to rule and reign out of the house of David. The glory of the latter-day house will be greater than before. So he's got to bring it all back. And he's got to express that with his church before he takes us out of here. I believe this year, say this is our year. I believe this year is the imminent arrival of the crown. I believe this is going to start happening in 2024. This transformation is not any ordinary transformation, because Jacob moves to Israel. He's changed to a ruling prince. Revelation 5 said, before the day of the Antichrist, before the day of the 7-year tribulation, the kings and priests will rule and reign in the earth. Revelation 3 said he's going to open the house of David. He that has the key to the house, the government's on his shoulders. He's going to open that house to a church. Say to a church. To you. To me. We've been a priesthood operating authority. We're about to be kings. He's going to open and return that house to a church age that precedes the tribulation days. He says, because you have kept my words. Isn't that interesting? They said that twice about the church. Because you've kept my words, I will keep you from the hour of temptation that will come upon the whole earth. That's speaking of the tribulation. It's a church that comes before the tribulation day. We know this, right? But he says, I'm going to open this house. I'm going to return the house. There's a baptism coming. It said it. Revelation 5, the seven spirits of God will be poured out in the whole earth. In that baptism, you and I are about to receive another transformation. One from the house of the priest to the house of the king. A whole generation of Jacobs about to go before God and receive the exact same thing Jacob received. As a prince, you have reigned with me. We receive what Solomon received, a transformation. A rule and a reign, an expression of the house of David before we're out of here. Don't be listening to people talking about rapture right now. There is no way God's taking us out on the earth in our present condition. No, there's going to be an expression of the rule and the reign of the 1,000-year millennial reign. There'll be an expression by the church. We've talked a lot about this. I can't get into it today. A dominion. A glory given. But with that's going to become a transformation. That's why he said, who would ascend the hill of the Lord? Who will go before the face of the God of Jacob? He will receive the blessing and the righteousness of the God his salvation. I believe those two things right there are speaking of the crowning and the transformational life to accompany it. Say transformational life. We've talked a lot about that this year. We've gone a long way in the resurrection. You remember the Mount of Transfiguration? When they entered in, that cloud came down. Peter spoke about it, that instance, as the second coming of the Lord. He specifically spoke about it. I don't want to get into it today. He spoke about it as the second coming of the Lord. Somehow that mountain moved past time. You know, God can move people through time. He can move boats through time, did it? We've talked about this. God owns time. He can move time. He inhabits eternity. But there's a generation now that's going to go before the face. There is a transformation for an entire generation. A glorious transformation. To receive the blessing, the first fruits of the crown, to receive the righteousness of the God of our salvation. That's not just the righteousness you receive, as in, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You already got that in your ascension. That righteousness from the God of your salvation is where he's going to clothe us in the glory here. Isaiah said it. Arise, shine, thy light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen. The glory of the Lord is seen. He said, as the waters cover the sea, so shall my glory cover the earth. There's a generation where the glory will cover the earth. It'll be seen. It'll be witnessed. We're a generation to witness the second coming of the Lord. We'll be carrying that glory at times. It will be seen upon us. That's part of the witness of the church. That's a transformation. That's more than just happy church on Sunday morning. That's where the invisible that's up inside of you starts becoming visible. Oh, let me ask you a question. How many of you know you're going to get a glorified body? Raise your hand. This body will change. It's pretty amazing that this body, after the day of resurrection, will emanate life. It'll emanate light. It won't be like anything you have right now. Your soul will be governed eternally by life itself. Life, peace, joy, love. It'll all just erupt from you 24 hours a day. It'll just erupt all the time. Say life erupting. That's why in heaven, they'll always be talking. And all of a sudden, someone will get overwhelmed. They'll just start, glory! And everybody else will go, glory! Everyone, people have gone to heaven and says the same thing. Everybody's got this chain reaction, glory, glory! They have all these glory breakouts all the time because life is erupting out of them. You're an eruption of life. You won't be restrained by this physical man. You won't be restrained by the soul. God will fill all in all in a moment, a twinkling of the eye. That's what that verse means. Corruption will put on incorruption. Mortality will put on immortality. And the Bible says God and Christ will present us up to God where God fills all in all. What that means is God will now fill every part of you, spirit, soul, and body. You'll be made in life itself. Life is your nature. Light is your nature. Glory is your nature. You emanate it. Part of the transformation in the face of the God of Jacob is all our Jacob tendencies are getting swallowed up in victory. He said, swallow up a generation in victory. Oh, death, where's your sting? The law of sin and death will be swallowed up. Jesus entered his resurrection in the earth to give witness. Who's to say that didn't happen to him every time he prayed? We don't know. But every time he prayed, he'd come down from the mountain and everybody would be healed. We don't know what transpired between him and the Father all the time. But we saw it one day on the Mount of Transfiguration where he entered in transformational life. This is a generation to receive the righteousness. This righteousness is talking about manifested righteousness, manifested glory. You have a hidden righteousness inside that causes you to ascend the hill of the Lord. It's a standing, but this is talking about manifested life. Say manifest. Manifested glory. Wouldn't it be something? God starts lighting people up. And the glory starts breaking out and seeing. When Jesse the Planet went to heaven, I remember his story. He come out, one day he got caught up in heaven and went to heaven. He talked about the whole trip there. He had a message, God took him up to heaven. And he spent all that afternoon, he come back and he didn't even know it. He just got ready to do service. And he walked in the service and everybody started pointing at him like this. They turned and started pointing at him. He goes, I didn't even know what was going on. They lit him up. His whole countenance was shining the glory of God like Moses. You remember when Moses had to put a veil? His countenance was shining with the glory of God. He said he walked up there and the whole church fell out under the power of God. Everybody got saved and healed in that building that night. The manifested glory came right out of heaven. This is the glory. Nick is going to rest on us. This is the glory will rest on the end time. Why? Because we're giving testimony to the earth. He's not going to bring a word without power. He's not going to say, he's not going to raise an apostolic voice in the earth and say, oh, we're about to enter. This is it. Book of Revelation's open. We're in our final days. Nobody's going to believe that without power. But God's going to demonstrate you in the last days. The King of Glory is coming back. And His glory will be seen upon His church as a witness. This is God's final grace before the tribulation hour. A witness of restoration glory. Upon our body, the crown upon us. Supernatural, omnipresent, omniscient wisdom. Wisdom that none of us have in this room. Divine intelligence of God in the time of AI. Dominion of the crown. Manifesting in the earth. This is the generation that seeks. It's not going to happen to one. It's going to be a generation. It's going to be a church. A crown was given. A glory was given to an end time church. A transformation we've not seen. He's promising us the same thing, a change of identity. How many of you like some change? It's a new year resolution, new year's change. Here we go. A transformation. We've walked together a long time, a lot of us have. I mean, transformation is not easy. It takes a long time to get this stuff out. I go, God, there's got to be a better way.
I mean, 40 years we've been at this.
Feels like it.
There's got to be a better way. I mean, God does change. I mean, amen, but it's taken a lot of time, a lot of pain.
There's another type of change where we can join Him in the glory. And He can take us out beyond time and speak things over us like He did Jacob. Thy name is no longer Jacob. Thy name has been. How about us move to the has been realm? There has been Israel. You have reigned with me. See, that's a living place in God. Every one of us has a living position in the creative Father. It's one beyond where you are. It's one hidden in the Father. There's a book, a creative book for your life. A creative book. It's not mundane. It's not the same. How many of you ever wake up and feel like it's the same thing all the time? There's a creative book that has creativity. That's a new name, new identity, new calling, full of favor, full of multiplication, full of life. It's all in the Father. He's promising a whole generation's gonna get to seek the face. Not just seeking God, seek the face. Seek the operation of the face of God. Understands the face. There's a whole generation gonna understand how the face of God works. If you don't know how the face of God works, not just going up and worship before His face. The God of, when you go before God's face, you can go out into Him. So He says this generation, and then He ends this psalm, which is our beginning, starting tomorrow morning, Psalms 24. This is our year right here. He gives us an instruction. It's not an instruction, it's an invitation. He invites us into this. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, you are invited. I got an invitation right here. We have an invitation to go before the face of the God of Jacob. I don't know about you, but I can use some more of that transformation. I want life to swallow up this body. I want life to swallow up myself. I want to wake up with life governing my emotions. I want to be a morning person with life. Boom. I want life. Like Lester Summerall. He only needed 2-3 hours of sleep. Life goes up in his body all the time. 3 hours of sleep is all he ever slept. That's it. Serve God day and night. Life is life. The resurrection body, I got news for you. You're not gonna, there's really no beds to lay down in heaven. Your body does not need sleep. A resurrected body has 24 hours a day life on it. It doesn't go to bed, oh, I am tired. The resurrected body never gets tired. It has life in it. It's made of life. It's just like your spirit. It's full of life. I mean, we're just looking at this. I want to go join with Him in the Mount of Transfiguration. Here's our invitation. The Psalm inviting us in the year 2024. Now that you understand all this, understanding the time we live in, understanding the day and the hour, the return of the house of David, he that has the key is going to grant a church a crown. In fact, it's the only church that received a crown in the earth. Every other church received it afterward, but this church received it in the earth. A crown was given. Say, a crown was given. In fact, he said, let no man in the earth take your crown. Don't give it up. Here's the invitation. Ready? Lift up your heads, O you gates. Say, I am a gate. Lift up your head, you everlasting doors. I am an everlasting door. You're an eternal doorway of the kingdom. You're an eternal gate. You are the door. You are the gate. And what? It says, lift up your heads. Lift up you everlasting doors. And what? The King of Glory shall come in. Say, the King of Glory shall... You think He's going to come in without power, without testimony? He's bringing His life. He's bringing the house of David. This house is not governed by spiritually dead men. David and Solomon are operating in accounted righteousness. We have the real thing. More than that, He's bringing the life with it. He's bringing the glory with it. It's an expression of the 1,000-year millennial reign.
He'll express it before we leave. He said, this is what's going to be like to rule and reign. A church will rule and reign with me before the nations are judged. And the systems of this world will be judged. You think that they just think they're just getting away with everything. If you look out everything, I mean, nothing's resisting what's going on out there. But the crown is coming. The seven spirits of God's coming into the earth. And God himself will resist what they're doing. You want to know what's going on in the nations? You can read Revelation 18, 9, the Babylonian harlot, the kings in her. This is the whole global consortium of men and wicked people serving that foul harlot system. They want total dominion. They want anarchy. They want to rule. They're anti-God. They want a transgender society that has nothing to do with anything male or female. Anything that represents God has to be distorted. And so that woman gets suspended in lead for a season. It's during the reign, the rule, the run of the white horse. We're not going to just keep set on that horse. That crown has to come with a transformation. As it was with Solomon, so it is with us. As it was with Jacob, so it is with us. He's going to change us fundamentally. I was caught up in the glory this morning. I saw people undergoing this baptism and you didn't even recognize them after. It changed everything about them. Their mannerisms changed. The way they walk changed. The way they talk changed. Their demeanor changed. They walk like royalty in the earth. But with a humility that come and understanding and only God could do it. And when they would speak, things would happen. They had authority to speak into the earth. And the earth obeyed. We will never let go until this word becomes reality. It's in us. We have it. Lift up your heads. The King of glory shall come in. Here's a good one. He says it again. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. That's who's coming. That one that's been sitting on the throne of David for 2,000 years waiting for the Father to give it okay to come back. He wants to rule the nations. The Bible said he'll rule them with a rod of iron. He's the rock that will break the feet of clay. Nebuchadnezzar's statue, that whole thing will be broken. Verse 9, lift up your heads, O you gates. Even lift them up, you everlasting doors. The King of glory will come in. What does that mean? He's coming out of the heavens. He's coming into the earth. He will manifest his glory as the King of glory in the earth. He's coming back to reveal himself as the second coming King in all of his magnificent glory. And it will be seen upon the church. It will be witnessed by the church. The authority and dominion will be given in the last hour to represent the return of the King. Far cry. Acts chapter 1, he says, that's not what I'm doing right now. I'm creating a brand new breed of people, born again people. The final church, that's what he's doing right now. He will address Rome. He will address the nations. He will address the wickedness. He's coming to judge that system. And eventually the people in it. Who is this King of glory? Love this one. The Lord of hosts, the Lord, say the Lord of the angelic armies of heaven. He's not coming alone. He's bringing the chariots of fire with him. He's bringing the horsemen. Remember Elisha? Him and his servant, the whole king's army surrounded him. His servant woke up and said, Master, we're about to die. He said, oh, open his eyes. And he saw the armies of God, the chariots of fire, the horsemen filled. The whole mountain was filled with horses. Spiritual, living chariots of fire and the horsemen. That army. He's bringing that army with him. He says, chariots of fire is a whirlwind. Our God cometh with fire and his chariots is a whirlwind. Our God cometh. A tempestuous whirlwind around. We're about to receive the angelic armies of the crown.
They're going to be with the church, not just your guardian angel. You're talking about chariots that do the king's business in the earth. They can confront whole armies in the earth. They dismantled an entire army, blinded them. The king of Israel, let's strike them. I said, no. Sent them away, dismantled an army. One angel slew 185,000 Assyrian men. One. Say one. Chariots of fire coming. Say chariots of fire. We are not a generation that's alone. We have to stay with the word of the crown till it comes into the earth and fully abounds, till all this glory is with us in the earth. Operational glory, where the King of Glory is with his church, manifesting transformation, manifesting dominion, manifesting the heavens into the earth. This is what the last day will look like. Careful what you listen to out there. People don't see the crown. The crown is the greatest event of our generation by far. And that chapter is the promise of him coming in. Let us not let go. Let us look to 2024 as the year of Psalms 24, the arrival of the King of Glory.